Acts chapter 6, beginning and reading in verse 8. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Then there arose certain of the synagogues, which are called the synagogues of the Libertines, and the Cyrenians, and the Alexandrians, and of them Cilicia of Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. I want to just stop off here and say this. Stephen is preaching the gospel. The gospel is new because they're used to the Old Testament system. The Lord has come and lived and died and rose again and given the message to the disciples, and they're preaching the message. But for the most part, those who are listening do not want to hear. Those who are listening, those who are in the audience are what we would call church people. Those who knew what it was to go to the synagogues, those who knew what it was to do the performance of the religious world, those that were listening were those who were religious. Those that were listening were those that just simply were lost, did not know the Lord for sure. And they're hearing a man preach and seeing a man do something that's miraculous, and we're finding out their response. Verse 11. Let's go ahead and back verse 10. It's too good to not read twice. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Then they subhorned men which said, listen, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. They're lying. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes and came upon him, Stephen, and called him and brought him to the council and set up false witnesses which said, this man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change its customs, which Moses delivered us. And all that sat at the council, looking steadfast on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. It's almost amazing that they can listen to Stephen and hear his words and experience the authority and see his face looks like an angel, and I wonder what their response will be. I suppose you already know. They rejected Stephen severely. He, by the way, could remind you, he's about to be stoned. That was their response. Look on in chapter 7, verse 51. His last few words, his last few breaths, the last few seconds of Stephen's life, God speaks through him and says something to some people. Listen to this. Says something to some people who did not want to hear what he said, but the message was from God. Verse 51, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. That's bad enough, but notice. As your fathers did, so do ye. He said, you always resist the Holy Spirit. He says, you're stiff-necked. It literally means you've ever had a child get stubbed up on you, tense up. That's what he's saying you're doing to God. You're tensing up, resisting, hard, refuse to be turned. You're resisting God. And he says you always resist the Holy Spirit. You refuse to listen, refuse to obey. You resist. It literally means to oppose or stand in the way of or reject or fight against. Pretty severe accusation. But that's not the worst of it. He says, as your fathers did. You ain't the only one that's done this. Your fathers did the same thing. He says, that's not near as bad as it, as you may think. It's not the worst thing. It's not just that your fathers did it, but now you're doing the same thing. It looks like you would have learned by now. You're doing the same thing your fathers did. My fault from that is this. What is it going to take? What does God have to do? What is it going to take? God spoke to the fathers and worked with the fathers and blessed the fathers, and they ignored them, resisted them, fought against them, rebelled. And now he's dealing with the children. Now he's dealing with the people of the book of Acts. Now he's dealing in Stephen's day with the crowd around Stephen, and God is dealing with them, and they're doing the same thing their fathers did. Well, what in the world can God do? I asked this question, what's it going to take? If you look in chapter 7, beginning in verse 2, notice what it says. And he said, men and brethren, this is Stephen speaking, men and brethren, the fathers hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Charan, and said unto him, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and come into the land which I shall show thee. I'm talking about God met with Abraham, and he said, Abraham, come here. I've got something good for you. He took him on a mountain. He said, look as far as you can to the north. Look as far as you can to the south. Look as far as you can to the east and to the west. And he said, all that land I'm going to give to you and to your children. I'm talking about the fathers had experienced the blessings. God had been good to them. God had not been some ogre. He had not been some taskmaster. Even though he was holy, and even though he dealt with their sin, he still was a good God. He had blessed them mightily. They had experienced the blessings. Look in verse 6. God spake on this wise. What Stephen's doing is giving a history of Israel. He said, your fathers did it, and now you're doing it. Your fathers resisted God, and now you're doing the same thing. So he's explaining what he's saying. He's giving a brief history of Israel. He starts with Abraham and how God called Abraham out of the air of the land of the Chaldeans and blessed him mightily. They had experienced the blessings, but notice in verse 6, and God spake on this wise that his seed, Abraham's seed, should sojourn in a strange land, and that they should bring them into bondage and entreat them evil 400 years. We find not only did the fathers experience the blessings, but they had experienced the bondage. God had been good to them. God had blessed them mightily. You know what they did? Just gobbled up his goodness and walked on in their will. Did as they pleased, lived as they pleased, act like God hadn't been a friend to them. I'm saying God had blessed them, but it hadn't changed them. They hadn't sold out. They hadn't given their all to the Lord. They devoured his goodness. They devoured his blessings and wouldn't give God the time of day. So God said, if my blessings won't work, if my blessings don't get your attention, maybe bondage will. So you know the story. Israel went into Egypt, and a Pharaoh came up that did not know Joseph and put them into bondage. Israel became slaves. They became bondmen. They became slaves to Pharaoh and to Egypt. Well, now, why didn't God do that? What was God doing? Is he just some big, mean ogre in the sky? Oh, no, no. He put them in bondage to try to get their attention. His blessings had not worked, so now maybe bondage will. But that's not the end of the story. Look on in verse 17. Stephen is still speaking. I'm talking about, listen, he's speaking to the crowd. He's speaking to the religious bunch. He's speaking to the church people. He's speaking to the lost people. There's all kinds of people mingled in this crowd. And he's telling them what God has done. He has blessed Israel, but he's also put Israel in bondage. Look at verse 17. But when the time of the promise drew nigh, when God had sworn unto Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt, till another king arose, which knew not Joseph. It not only was a time of bondage in Egypt, it was a time of burdens. They wore out the people of Israel. They worked them hard every day. They labored hard and long without appreciation, without pay. They were under bondage. What's God doing? What's he doing? Well, his blessings didn't work, and the bondage doesn't work. Now he's trying to burden them. He's trying to break them. He's not doing this because he hates Israel. He loves Israel. Israel is his people. Israel are the chosen ones of God. But God wants a people who will walk with him. God wants a people who will love him. God wants a people who will listen to him. But they won't. The blessings didn't change them. And the bondage didn't change them. And even the burdens didn't change them. You would think they would run to God. Oh, they did. It says that they cried out to the Lord. You know what they did? God, get us out of this. God, take this away. God, deliver us. But they're not repenting. They're not getting right. They want a God who will deliver, but not a God that will demand. They want a God who will make their life easy, but not a God who will expect anything. I'm asking you this. What's it going to take? What else can God do? His blessings didn't work. And the bondages didn't work. And the burdens didn't work. But he's not through. Look on in chapter 7, verse 30. And when 40 years were expired, there appeared to him in the wilderness. This is talking about Moses. In the wilderness of the Mount Sinai, an angel of the Lord in the flame of the fire in a bush. When Moses saw it, he wondered at the sight, and as he drew near to behold it, the voice of the Lord came unto him, saying, I am the God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Then Moses trembled and durst not behold. Then said the Lord to him, and all that Israel has done against God. God has sent blessings. They devoured the blessings and still didn't turn to him. God has sent bondage. They endured the bondage but did not turn to him. God sent burdens. They endured the burdens, but yet they did not turn to God. I ask the question, what's it going to take? If they have not yet turned, what's God going to have to do? But then he... Not only did they experience the blessings and the bondage and the burdens, they experienced the bush to a people who did not deserve it. He spoke to a people who had not heard before, who had refused to listen, who had turned their backs, had covered their ears when God spoke. he speaks again. He spoke to a man named Moses through a burning bush. Once again, God's trying to get the attention of his people. Once again, he's trying to get them to turn to him. Once again, they're trying to get him to give him their all. I mean, after all, doesn't he deserve it? Sure he does, after all he's done. And yet, in spite of all of it, in spite of the blessings, in spite of the bondage, in spite of the burdens, in spite of the bush even, God, who could have said, okay, good riddance, and yet he still speaks. He still sends a Moses and delivers him from Egypt. He still does good to his people. You would think, finally, they're going to turn back to God now. After all he's done for them, they did not deserve it. They for years have ignored God and shunned God and misused God and abused God. Now he's spoken and now Moses has come and God has delivered them out of Egypt. Surely now they'll listen. Nope. Once again, they turn back to idols. Once again, once he's delivered them, they said, we just wish we'd go back to Egypt. We want the leeks and the garlic and the onions. I ask you this, what in the world is it going to take? What is God going to have to do? Chapter 7, verse 39. To whom our fathers would not obey, but thrust him from them, and their hearts turned back again into Egypt. After all God had done, they just said, no, thank you, God. No, thank you. But now it's a different day. That has been years ago. That's what the fathers did. Now we're dealing with the children. Now we're dealing with some of the offspring. Now we're living in a different day. And Stephen speaks the truth. And what do? They don't listen. They don't receive. They don't hear. He said it like this. You're doing exactly what your fathers did. You're doing exactly the same thing in verse 51. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in hearts and ears. You do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did. So do ye. I ask you, what in the world is it going to take? What is God going to have to do? What else can he do? He blessed them. He put them in bondage. He put them under burdens. And he even sent a new man with a message of hope through the bush. And they still don't want God. But Stephen says, you're doing now just like your fathers did then. My burden is, and I hope you understand this, is not what they did in the Old Testament or what they did in the early church days with Stephen. But what are we doing today? What are we doing today? I wonder if Stephen came back this morning, if he could say, you're doing just like they did. True gospel. Church of 2016 almost. You're doing now exactly what they did. You haven't learned a thing. You haven't listened to God. My question is this, what is it going to take? If we're not right now, what's it going to take for us to get right? God, like his people Israel, has blessed us. My goodness, God's been good to us. I've got a Bible I can trust in. I've got a Holy Spirit who lives inside of me. I've got Christian friends and family. I've got a church that I love. I've got so much going for me. God has been so good to me. He has blessed us in so many ways. I know we have our burdens. I know we have our problems. Yes, we do. But we're in a world full of problems. Nothing will exempt us from problems. But in spite of our problems, God has blessed us. God has been so good to us. But we don't realize that in his blessings, he says, will you live for me? I bless you not just because I love you. I do love you. But I bless you because I want you to do my will. It's like a mom or a daddy speaking to a little child. Says, I love you. And I'm not holding it over your head, but I provided a home. And we make meals, and we give you clothes, and we're good to you, and we love you, and we talk with you, and we play with you. We do all these things because we love you, and we want you to do right. We want you to be the proper child. We want you to do right. We love you, yes, because we love you. But we help you and bless you and are good to you because we want you to be a good person and do right as a result. And so it is with God. He does bless us because He loves us. But He blesses us because He wants us to use those blessings for His glory. He wants us to walk with Him. That's why Paul said in Romans 2:4, "Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness?" You just devour His goodness and don't even appreciate it. Don't even say thank you. Don't even follow Him. Don't even obey Him. Don't even listen to Him. "Or despise of the riches of His goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance." His blessings are sent because He loves us. But His blessings are sent because He wants us to do right. He wants us to say, "God is so good to me, I must serve Him. God has blessed me so much. He deserves my all." You getting it? I ask you, what's it going to take? If the goodness that He shed toward us doesn't break us, what's it going to take? If He has been so good to us, and He has blessed us abundantly, and yet we devour it and go on in our life and our will and our desire and think very little of Him and what He wants through our daily routine. What's it going to take? Just like Israel, just like the fathers, just like those in Stephen's day, God has sent His blessings, but He also sometimes has allowed us to be in bondage. Egypt is a picture of the world. Being in Egypt is a picture of a child of God being controlled by the world and the flesh. Bondage to flesh. Bondage to what flesh says. Controlled by the world. Influenced by what's going on and what the modern day says. God has allowed us to be placed in bondage. If we won't serve Him, He'll let us go our way. If we won't sell out, He'll let us live the way we want to. And it's always a life of bondage where the flesh is in control and doing what we want to do is more important. You ever feel like your flesh is controlling you? That's what I'm talking about. Not only His blessings and the bondage with the burdens. God allowed His people to be burdened, make brick all day long, work in mud pits, work outside in the sun all day long. Hard, strenuous burdens, requirement from Pharaoh, restrictions from what they wanted to do. They had a load. Yeah. You feel like you got a load on you this morning? You feel the weight of this life on you? You feel burdened? God allows that. Why? Because He hates us? No. Because He loves us. And in His attempt to get us to where we'll say, "God, I'm yours," He'll let us be burdened. Those burdens that we carry, those burdens that weigh us down, is God trying to get through to us and getting us to see, "My way is better than your way. Your way leads to burdens, and I'll let you live it if you want it." I ask you this, what's it going to take? If we can live burdened and troubled and controlled by flesh and not turn to God, what's He going to have to do? What's it going to take? We just like them receive a bush experience where God speaks to us and God tries to get our attention. God tries to wake us up, but I'm not sure we listen. They didn't. In Stephen's day, they didn't. In the Father's day, they didn't. In our day, we don't. I just ask, what's it going to take? What's it going to take? What does God have to do to get our attention? What's He going to have to do to get us to where we'll finally listen? What's He going to have to do to finally get us to where we're willing to obey? They did in Stephen's day. They didn't in the Father's day. I'm afraid, not just afraid, I know we don't in our day. What is God going to have to do? What's He going to take? When God comes by and speaks to me and to you, sends a preacher in this pulpit or in others, and God speaks to us. I mean, God speaks to your heart, and you know He's speaking to you, and you shun it. Ignore it. Get up and walk back out, same way you came in. When God speaks to us and addresses us, and if you will, sends a Moses to tell us the message of God, and we ignore it, what's He going to take? What's He going to have to do? If that doesn't work, what will work? How many times has God spoken to you in this church and you resisted Him? How many times has God spoken to you riding down the road in your car and you shunned it? How many times at work? How many times at the grocery store? How many times sometimes out recreation? God spoken to you. God spoke to you and told you something. You didn't want to hear it. Stephen's crowd didn't. Moses' crowd didn't. But it was a loving God speaking to him and them and us. How many times has He spoken to us and we've shunned Him? How many more messages will it take? How many more times will He have to speak? What's it going to take? What will be enough? What's going to work? How many more times do you have to fail? How many more times does flesh have to get its way? How many times more times do we have to make a mess before we finally say that's enough? I want to get right with God. I want to serve Him. I want to be all that I can be. Hey, I'm telling you, God worked in Israel. God worked in Stephen's day. God works in our day. He is not quiet. He has not given up. It's bad, but it's not too bad for Him to keep speaking. And I'm convinced God's speaking to you and to me. But we're not listening. We're not listening. I ask you this, what's it going to take? How many more times do you have to make a mess? How many more times do you have to be defeated? Doesn't somebody long for victory? Doesn't somebody long for a clean life? How much worse does it have to get before we start praying? What's it going to take? If we're not praying now, I don't know what it's going to take for us to get to praying. If it's not bad enough in this country, in this world, in this church, in your family, in this neighborhood, in this country, if it's not bad enough yet for us to pray, what's it going to take for us to pray? How bad is it going to have to get? How much worse does it have to get? Stephen said, you stiff-necked, you're doing just like your parents did. And so are we. We don't listen to God. We don't listen to Him when He speaks. We don't pay attention when He burdens us. We don't pay attention to the troubles and trials, the weights we have. We struggle on instead of getting right and saying, I've had enough. What's it going to take? What's God going to have to do? How many more lost people have to go to hell before we get a burden for them? How many more dead services do we have to endure? I'm not saying every service is dead, but some of them are. We just, we'll be honest, we just dead as 4 o'clock sometimes. How many more do we have before somebody says, it's enough? It's enough. What does God have to do? What's it going to take? How many more Sundays and Wednesdays does this altar have to be empty before somebody gets a burden about it? We're not burdened yet. And we haven't already gotten a burden. If somebody hasn't already noticed, what's it going to take? What's God going to have to do to finally wake us up? How many financial reversals? How many bad deals? How many late notices is it going to take financially for us to wake up to realize God's speaking to us. God's trying to get our attention. We go on in our misery. We are content to be miserable. We struggle on with our burdens instead of saying, God, I need you. What's it going to take if we haven't already been broken? If we haven't already had our eyes open? If we haven't had our hearts pulled toward God by now? What's it going to take? How much longer are you willing to go through another day hard-hearted, unconcerned, no tears, no broken heart, see tragedy and you're unmoved? How much longer can you take that? How much longer? What's it going to take if you haven't been moved yet? What's it going to take? What's God going to have to do? What's going to have to happen? How many more days are you willing to go without joy? How long is it going to take before we realize and wake up we're doing just like they did? We're doing just like they did. And the results of what the fathers did and the results of what Stephen's day did will be the same results of us. God will say, here I am if you want me. But if you don't, that's your choice. I want to know what in the world, what is it going to take? If there's not enough bad already happening, how bad does it have to get before somebody somewhere here in this pulpit or in that pew says, I'm going to get right with God. I'm going to sell out. My life belongs to Him. What's it going to take for Him to get our attention? How many prayers of yours will have to go unanswered? Have you not prayed enough with no answer? Have you not prayed enough without a response and without an answer for you to wonder, what's wrong with me? Maybe it's me. Maybe I'm the reason. Maybe it's my fault. What does God have to do? What's it going to take? You think it can't get worse? I used to think that, but it's gotten worse. And it will get worse. How much is your will worth? How much is it worth for you to live as you please? Me to live as I please, without an awful lot of thought of God's will and God's work in my life and in this world? What's it worth? I'll tell you one thing, it costs more than it's worth. It costs when we lose the pleasure of God, when He's no longer pleased at us, when He's no longer pleased with us. It's a high price to pay. When we lose the peace of God, when things trouble us and we may seek the Lord, but we're just seeking for His help. We're not seeking Him. We want Him to take the problem away and get rid of the problem and trouble and relieve me of my burden, just like the people of Israel did in Egypt. But we're not interested in getting right with God. We're not interested in getting where He wants us. Is it worth it? How many more people are you going to have to hurt? How many more family members are going to watch your ungodly or unchristian attitude and actions and their hearts going to be cut? How many more is it going to take before you wake up? How many more nights where you feel empty? How many more days when it seems like God doesn't even know where you're at? What's God going to have to do? What's it going to take for us to finally turn to Him and say, oh God, I need to get right. I don't just need your favor. I need your forgiveness. I need to get right. What's it going to take? If it hasn't happened already, what's it going to take? How did they respond? Verse 54, chapter 7. When they heard these things, what Stephen said, they were cut to the heart. Boy, that sounds good. And they gnashed on Him with their teeth. But He, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God and said, behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. And then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon Him with one accord and cast Him out of the city and stoned Him. Verse 59, And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Their response to his message, they shut their ears and they stoned the man who told them the truth. I don't expect to be stoned today, at least I hope not. But I do wonder how we, including me, will respond to the message. I promise you, I struggled this week more than I have in a long time. I sat up late last night and got up early this morning. And I wanted to get away from this message, but God said, if you want to preach what I say, you better preach this. What's it going to take? If we aren't broken yet, what's it going to take to break us? If we aren't tired of the lifestyle we're living now, what's it going to take for us to get tired? If we aren't burdened for lost souls now, what's it going to take? What's God going to have to do? I don't want to know. I want to be willing to say, Lord, here am I. I yield to you. Let your will be mine. I surrender to you. I give up my way. I give up my desire. I give up my will. I give up my lifestyle. I give it up, Lord. I don't want you to hurt me worse or somebody I love worse. Stephen's last word was, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. I got pretty sure assumption the Lord didn't hear that prayer. Because they will be held accountable for what they did. And so will I, and so will you. We just can't ignore God and get by. I'm glad we've got a God who loves us so much, He'll bless us. And if He needs to, He'll put us in bondage and let us be burdened, but He'll still speak to us. Anybody want victory? Anybody tired of defeat? Anybody sick of the way things are in your life or your situation? I hope so. Because if we aren't yet, I don't know what it's going to take. I don't know what God's going to have to do. And I don't want Him to have to. Let's stand together. His bow and eyes closed, men to come. You've heard the message.